Good morning again. All right, Tom and Sharon Compton, where are you? Stand up. Now, Tom and Sharon were members here before, moved away, loved us so much they had to come back. They want to be recognized as members again, so. So maybe you've learned not to ever go away. We'll see, huh? Remind you of our one. Well, this one's a little out of place over here, but we're still thinking about who is that one person that we can connect with, which we can help to come into a relationship with God. So I hope you're keeping that person in your mind and thinking about the ways you can help that person. We've been reading through 1 and 2 Thessalonians this week, so that's where our sermon will come. If you do not already have one of these booklets, of course, there's some more at the Welcome Center here and at the back desk on your way out. This coming week, we'll be reading some more from the book of Acts, and as well as 1 Corinthians, first part of 1 Corinthians. We're going to read in Acts about the Apostle Paul going to Corinth and the church starting there, and then we'll read a little bit of his letter to those folks. So I encourage you to begin with that tomorrow. For those of you who enjoyed our retreat we had in Oh Praise the Lord with Gary Moyers, there's going to be more of that this coming Saturday at the Shiloh Road Church in Tyler. Encourage you. You should have gotten a message about that from the church this week. Encourage you to go to their website and sign up if you're planning on going so they can have a head count for all those folks that are coming. As is always, a couple of our elders and their wives are available to meet with you in the conference room after the end of the lesson. They will pray with you. They'd love to pray with you. If you have a concern, a request, you can just go out the back doors and go down to the left and meet with them in the conference room. Of course, by now we're all aware of the shooting at the Baptist Church just outside of San Antonio this last week. And our governor requested that we all at 11:30 today stop and pray for the state, and not just the state of Texas, but the whole country, and particularly those folks affected by that this week. I'm going to pray before the sermon and do that this morning, because if I wait till 11:30, I'll have to stop in the middle of the sermon. But we want to remember those folks this morning. So let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, there are a lot of difficulties we face in our land. As much as we appreciate the place we live, we know that there is still sin reigning here. And we've seen it this last week in the church and the people that were shot there. We ask your blessing upon those folks as they try to put their lives back together and go on with without so many loved ones that they will now miss. I ask that you be with that church as they try to pick up the pieces and go forward. Be with that whole community. Be with those who suffer from mental illness and their families as they try to work through and figure out how to deal with them. And now, Father, as we spend some time in your word, thinking about what it means to be loyal to you, to turn towards you and away from those things in our world, we ask now the blessing on your preaching and hearing of your word. It's your son we pray. Amen. Okay, so see if you've tried this. You realized you need to get yourself in shape, so you went out and bought some running shoes. And you went out and you ran a quarter mile, and then you nearly had a coronary. And you went back home and you ate a salad. You were good. The next day you didn't run and you had chicken fried steak and fried okra and fried potatoes with some blackberry pie and a scoop of Bluebell on top of it. And then you went into the bathroom and you got one of those talking scales and you stepped on the scale and heard,
"Whoa, one at a time."
And you can't figure it out. I don't understand. I went out one time and I exercised and I ate right one time. Why aren't things different? Well, of course, you have to keep doing that thing. You can't just do it one time. If you're going to make a turn, you have to keep making a turn. This week we've read about Paul and Acts, and then 1 Thessalonians. We read about Paul going to this town of Thessalonica. And there he stopped and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people in that town. He first, as his custom was, went to the synagogue. We're told that he spent 3 weeks there, or 3 Sabbaths there, No doubt when you read the letter, he spent much more time than that. But he spent three Sabbaths with the Jewish folks there, teaching them about Jesus as the Messiah. And a number of Jews, apparently, were converted, became followers of Jesus Christ. But a lot of other Jewish people were not converted. And in fact, they gave Paul a hard time. We read this in Acts chapter 17. But the Jews became jealous. And with the help of some ruffians in the marketplaces, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. While they were searching for Paul and Silas to bring them out to the assembly, they attacked Jason's house. Ruffians, I love the way the NRSV translates that. It sounds like the Jews in that community rounded up some gangbangers to help them deal with this new sect that's coming through town or something like that. But the authorities finally arrest this guy named Jason because apparently he's been housing these people at his house. So this is what we find out about the church in Thessalonica as we read through the book of Acts. Now the interesting thing is that although when we read Acts, some of these first Christians are Jews, when we start reading 1 Thessalonians, we don't hear anything about the Jews. In fact, what we find out is about pagans, because not long after he was there, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to these Christians in Thessalonica. And here's one of the things he says to them. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is to come. They turned from idols. Last week we talked about how difficult it must have been for Jewish people to become Christians, because they have to get their mind around the fact that this Messiah they've been waiting for has come, and He's not just for them, He's for Gentiles as well. And Gentiles don't have to become Jews to become Christians. Well, you think about it, pagans have an equal challenge, really. Everybody in the community, short of the Jewish people there, everybody in the community are worshiping these idols. That's what you do. You have to think about anybody that doesn't do that is sort of like a person in our community that won't salute the flag, or worse yet, won't salute the flag and then cheers for Sam Houston, right? I mean, that's just really bad people. And so for you to convert from idolatry, for you to turn from idolatry to following Jesus Christ, brings about no small amount of pressure on you. And some of that pressure might have been indirect, because you're feeling a little out of step. Who wants to be out of step with all of your friends and all of your neighbors? And so there's some pressure there. And maybe there's some family pressure to come back to the pagan rituals from your parents, maybe, or your siblings. Come back. Turn back. And so you might say to yourself, well, maybe I can have Jesus and I can have these pagan rituals. But no. No, you've turned. You turn to the true and the living God. You turn away from these idols. What do you think it's like to be an idolater? It seems so foreign to us, doesn't it? How many of your neighbors have something like this in the living room in their house? We're just not familiar with it, although there is at least one house in Nacogdoches that has something like this in it. But generally, we're not familiar with this sort of thing. It's just so foreign to us to think about that. It's foreign to our experience. But maybe idolatry is not quite what we imagine it to be. Check out this video.
I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. Well, you would think they were crazy if you didn't understand their culture and their religion. See, that's just the thing. They were worshippers of idols. And they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted. They danced. They made sacrifices to their idols. But they had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. You don't really relate, do you? Let's try it again. I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. See, that's just the thing. They were worshippers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted. They danced. They made sacrifices to their idols. They had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. Idol worship. It's not just about golden calves anymore.
Okay, I know that may have hit just a little bit too close to home for some of us. But it helps us to realize we have to get past this idea of statues, of golden calves when we think about idolatry. In fact, none of these people in the ancient world actually thought that the statues were the gods. They thought the statues represented the gods, but all their loyalty was directed to these things. And for a lot of folks, it was worshiping something in creation, like the sun, or some kind of mountain or something. And what they did is they confused the blessing with the blesser. And so they end up worshiping the blessing rather than the blesser. Let me ask you, have you been blessed? Your family? The country that we live in? Have you been financially blessed? Are those things that you're worshiping, are they the blesser or the blessing? Because there's a lot of folks in our culture, a lot of Christian folks in our culture, spending a lot of time focusing on the family. And maybe they've forgotten the one who has blessed them with that family. Some folks are so caught up in saluting the flag that they've forgotten about the precedence of God and who is the one that gave us the flag. And so they easily put the flag above God. I can tell you about a country that did that. A country that claimed to be following Jesus, and yet the flag of their country took precedence over Jesus, and so that they would compromise all their values. You heard of that country? If you haven't, let me remind you. Nazi Germany was a country in which it claimed to be Christian. All of it was Christian. But they certainly acted in a lot of unchristian ways because the flag dominated more than the cross. And our priorities, we can always tell what's the value, what it is we're worshiping, because our priorities come out of our practices. We tell our children, for instance, that God is the center of our lives. But then you can tell what is important, the children can tell what's important, when you give a lot more attention to the math homework that they have to do, but give very little attention to them learning Scripture. They learn quickly what's important. And they can tell what's important when we get them to school, public school, 5 days a week on time. We can't get them to Bible class at church 1 day a week on time. They're learning what mom and dad think is important. And so then we're surprised when they grow up and leave the church because, well, we had them at church. We had them at church when we weren't busy with soccer practice or with cheer camp or going camping or going hunting or going fishing or going, well, sleeping in, or going to baseball games or football games or basketball games. Well, we had them at church. We don't understand why they've left the faith. By the way, there's a new sport that's taking over the country, curling. You might want to get your children involved in that. It's all the rage because you don't want your children to miss out on anything, right? Of course, all of these things are valuable. They're a blessing, baseball and cheer and soccer and camping and fishing. But all these blessings easily overshadow the blesser. And our worship and our focus has changed. And we become idolaters. God has blessed us financially. We live in a country where you have an opportunity for an education and a good job. And with that good job, a good income. And with that income, an opportunity to give it back to God. Or an opportunity to hoard it. An opportunity to spend it on yourself. There's a reason, by the way, that Scripture says that greed is idolatry. So we need to quit thinking about statues when we think about idolatry and maybe start thinking about things like this and this and this and yes, even this. And I could put my own football team up there and my own hobbies up there just as easily. We've turned, as people of as people who are committed to Jesus Christ, we too, like the Thessalonians, have turned. The world and its values are over here, and we've turned away from that and turned to God and His values. But maybe we've been turning back. And maybe that turn has been so slowly we can't quite see that we've made a turn at least halfway back. The reality is, we were born facing this way. We've always thought this is a Christian culture. We've been told this is a Christian culture. It's a Christian country. And so we thought it was this, but so many of the values that we've adopted have come from this over here. When we place values from here on here and create this veneer from here, we have compromised the faith. And we become idolaters. And you can see it when we face this direction. And we can see it when we face this direction. We can see it when we face this direction. When we made this compromise and this turn back, we can see it when we somehow stumble in drunk on Friday night and trip over the Jesus is Lord sign in the yard and don't think anything of it. When we become pregnant and we're not married and we go around telling people how Jesus has blessed us with a new baby, we're facing this direction. When the standard operating procedure in business is to lie, and so we just practice that because that's what you do, and then you show up at church on Sunday clearly facing this direction. When we bathe greed in a name it and claim it religion, so that if you have enough faith, you're going to get rich, we clearly are facing this direction. And when we take the world's way of power over service, but then create this veneer on it, a Christian veneer, so that we're going to boycott you if you don't conform to our Christian values, we're going to show you who's boss, we clearly are not facing away from the world. We have made a turn back. And so this all reminds us that turning is not something you do just once. Like you can't just run once. And you can't eat a salad just once. You have to keep turning. And so Paul commended these Christians in Thessalonica because they've made a turn. They turned away from idols and they turned towards God. But I want you to notice what he says to them. And we heard it in our scripture reading this morning. Finally, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you learn from us how you ought to live and to please God, as in fact you are doing, you should do so more and more. You turned away, Paul is saying. You have to keep turning away. You can't just do it once. You have to be intentional about doing it over and over. And the reason is because our culture is like that air mattress that you've slept on before but didn't have quite enough air. How many of you have slept on one of those before, right? Oh, you wake up in the middle of the night and you've rolled half off of it or something, and you know, all the sticks and pine cones, if you've been camping, you're laying on top of those things and you're hurting now. But you know what's worse? Is when you and your spouse are on that thing and the air goes out of it. Because you know what happens then? You're rolling in together like this. And honey, I love you, but your breath stinks. And you can't hardly get away from it, right? You just roll together and you're stuck together again, and you know, trying to get away, it's too difficult. And if we are not intentional about turning and continuing to turn towards God, by default we're going to turn back, because that's how our culture is. It's always dragging us back, it's always pulling us back, turning us back towards the middle. So to keep turning this way, you have to do things of this way. So I want you to hear again what the Apostle Paul said here. Finally, brothers and sisters, we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you learn from us how you ought to live and please God, as in fact you are doing, you should do so more and more. You've turned this way, keep doing it more and more. You have to practice these things over and over again. So you have to engage in these practices that are part of this value system, that are a part of this faith that you have bought into. And one of those practices, Paul says, is loving the brothers and sisters. Listen to what he says. Now concerning the love of the brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do love all the brothers and sisters throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, beloved, to do so more and more. You have to keep practicing these things. And the more you practice these things, the more they're going to become second nature. When you make this turn and practice this turn back to God and practice the values of God over and over, they become second nature. So that if you are a truth teller, when things are a little bit difficult, when things get really difficult, you will still be a truth teller because that's who you are. Or if you're a person that's facing this conflict and you really want to explode, but you decide you're going to go out and take a walk and cool off, and you practice that in the smaller difficult times. When the bigger difficult times come, you'll learn to control yourself because that's who you are. What helps us to do this is to also think this. What happens then is the input. You know the old saying, garbage in, what? Garbage out. So what is it that we're thinking on? What is it we're bringing inside of us? It should not surprise us that we're amped up like we had 20 cups of coffee when we've sat and listened to political talk radio all day long, and now we just feel like we want to strangle some politician or something like that. Why? That should not surprise us because of the input that has come to us. It should not surprise us that we're having struggles with sexuality because we've been watching television shows and we've been watching movies that are filled with those sorts of things, and now we can't understand, why am I having all of these struggles? Garbage in, garbage out. And all of those things are turning us back. If you do different and think different, then you're going to be different. We will become people who face this way because we've been practicing that and we've been thinking on those things. We become people who take on the character of Jesus. And isn't that our goal anyway? And so we've made this turn. Paul's commending those folks for making the turn. We've made this turn, but we have to keep making this turn, or we're going to keep rolling back. And so, you know, I'm the preacher that's always encouraging you. Make sure you read your story, your study in here. Make sure you take the notes. Make sure you come to Bible class on Sunday morning. Make sure you're a part of a home group. Make sure you're here for worship service. Which all help to keep us from turning back. Because when you neglect those things, you neglect those practices, you neglect what's coming into your mind, That air mattress is just going to pull you back, and you're going to turn back. Let's stand and sing.